Hello, I'm Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop. It's a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. And there's a new episode every other Friday, so I would really love it if you hit subscribe and tell your friends about it as well, if you enjoy what you hear. Here's a little clip of what's coming up today.
The creator of this universe, if you're going to follow him, well, he's always on the move. So I believe it's going to be an adventure full of ups and downs, but one that's worth living.
All right, let's go. This basketball game was going to change the course of Tyler Smith's life. He didn't know it at the time, but this game would set him on a completely different path. It would push him outside his comfort zone, into uncharted territory. And it would bring him into closer relationship with the creator of the universe. You can hear the full story in this conversation. We also talk about why following Jesus is always an adventure, what the difficult times teach us about God, and what it looks like to seek him 7 days a week. It's really great to have you here, and I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm now joined by someone who is an MBA sports writer. He's a basketball coach and he's also a pastor. And he's recently written his first book, Searching for Seven. Tyler Smith, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's awesome to have you here. And we're recording this on the 4th of July, so happy Independence Day as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm always really interested to hear about where people's faith has come from. So I'd like to kind of start this conversation in your childhood, if that's all right. Talk to me about your childhood and your experiences of God while you were growing up.
Yes, I grew up in a Christian home, wonderful Christian parents and a sister, older sister. We, you know, grew up in the church. We did the, you know, church camp and youth group and all that good stuff growing up. And so a lot of my, you know, early memories were, you know, directly tied to the church, which was awesome. Growing up, though, for me, it was, you know, a decision that I, you know, I think everybody has to make at some point. It's their own, where it's not your parents' faith or your, you know, siblings or friends' faith. It's your own. And I feel like I was starting to, you know, really lean that way towards my later high school years. And then especially in college, I know a lot of people go the opposite way when they go to college and they leave the church. But for me, it was, you know, getting more serious about my faith at that time. But I feel like, you know, growing up, a lot of great experiences with God, with the church and, you know, different, you know, camps and concerts and conferences that we would go to. And I have a lot of fond memories looking back on all of that.
Was there a moment sort of where you felt like you did make that commitment to God, that you were all out for him, that you were following him?
There was a Christian play, a drama that was traveling around, and we went to that, and I made a decision that night to follow Christ. And from that point on, you know, probably I'd say maybe 4 or 5 years of a lot of, you know, trying to figure out my identity and what that really looked like. I knew I was all in, but it was, you know, just a lot of, I guess, ups and downs in the faith in that way, maybe looking to some other things in life, maybe putting them as similar priority when I maybe shouldn't have. And then I would say when I was 19, some things happened where and really some the people that were around me at that time, I just really took off as far as, you know, living for God every day and understanding a little more what that looks like. And it's something I'm still learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder kind of through your teenage years, was there kind of a pressure to not be a Christian in a sense?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, working with teens today, I think there's even more of that today, more pressure. You know, there was some of it, you know, when I was in school. But I think a lot of the, I guess what I tell people a lot is I was known at that time as a Christian kid. And, you know, but the problem is people often looked at that as, well, it just means he doesn't really do bad things and he goes to church. And instead of understanding it's way more, there's way more to it than, you know, just this maybe legalistic view of it or, you know, following the rules kind of kid. But, you know, I didn't face a ton of backlash, except, you know, maybe a handful of people would, you know, make fun of me at times, and but it was nothing compared to what, you know, some people face in other parts of the world.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that kind of sense of that people have in their minds that Christianity is about following rules and about being a good person, and that can really alienate people from the gospel message. I think the minute that shifts, and I had that moment in my heart where I realized actually it's not about that. It's about God loving us so much that he would come to earth, live a perfect life, and then die for my sins, for my personal sins. And there's nothing that I can do that's going to kind of get me closer to that. It's already been dealt with. And I think the minute that clicked, that was for me was the turning point in my faith journey. And I think it's a difficult one, isn't it, to kind of explain to people when there's so many preconceptions around the faith and around what Christianity is.
Yeah. And, you know, one verse that I've been finding myself sharing a lot is in Galatians 2, where it says, if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing.
Right.
I try to share that as often as I can to let people know that if I could, you know, get to God or get to heaven by things that I do, then why did he go to a cross? I mean, it says it right there that, you know, it's not about that. It's all about him and not about, you know, things that I've done to earn his love.
Tell me more about how one basketball game changed the course of your entire life. I'm fascinated to hear that story.
Yeah. So I actually opened the book with this story. I tell people it's kind of my basketball testimony, if you will. And, you know, I'm in Indiana, grew up here. And if you don't know Indiana, you know, in the States is a very big basketball state. Well, I was playing on the JV basketball team my sophomore year. And I wasn't playing very well. And if you're, you know, sophomore and you're not, you don't have a good path to playing varsity, you're probably not going to, at least at that time. So there was one particular game, you know, a game that no one else would ever remember but me. It was like a Thursday night, a random JV basketball game. And I was not playing well. Coach pulled me out of the game and started yelling at me. And, I was a 15-year-old know-it-all at the time, so I talked back to him and was like, what are you talking about? And he yelled at me some more, and I sat there for a moment, and I literally thought, this is not good for my basketball hopes. But the cool thing was, about a minute later, maybe 2 minutes later, the coach came back over to me, and he put me back in the game. And I had all this adrenaline from being mad at, you know, myself and the situation. So I got in there, and I played like the best that I'd ever played at that point. Well, what happened was that game gave me this newfound confidence, and I started playing. You know, I played varsity at the end of sophomore year, played varsity the next 2 years, had a chance to play college basketball. It was a small school in Illinois, but it was a Bible college. And God used basketball to get me to go to this Bible college. That's the only reason, if I'm being honest, it's the only reason at that time that I decided to go was, you know, hey, God, if I make this team, then that's my sign, you know, that I'm supposed to be here. And not always the best approach, but it's what I did at the time. And so I went to this Bible college. I was going for a communications degree. I had no interest of ministry or, you know, I wanted to be around other Christians, but I wanted to, you know, major in communications and play ball. And that's what I was going to do. Well, after 1 year of that Bible college, I get a phone call saying, hey, we got this local youth group here. They don't have a youth pastor. We would love for you to start up a program in the summer. And it was supposed to be just a summer thing. I have not stopped doing youth ministry since in the last 15 years. And so what I tell people, and I didn't understand this till much later, looking back at my journey, if it wasn't for that one game and what happened, I don't know if I would have played college ball. And if it wasn't for college ball, I wouldn't have been involved in youth ministry. And so it's crazy to just look back and think about the course of your life, how something that could seem so small at the time, God could use it for something much bigger. And, you know, I also like to tell people that what the coach did that night is something that, you know, way that God treats us, where if we've screwed up, if we've messed up, because we're going to, we're human, he does not just leave us on the bench. He comes back over to us, puts us right back in the game, says, let's go. And then that's a kind of a framework of the whole idea of looking for him.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, actually. I really like that. I mean, the blurb for the book says that the Christian life is meant to be an adventure. Why do you think this is? Why do you think it's actually an adventure following God?
I've looked to just the action involved when it comes to faith. You know, faith is not just a blind belief. I believe there's, you know, evidence behind our faith, but I also believe it's meant to, you know, if you put action to it, if you, you know, go to Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, you see all these people that the writer of Hebrews mentioned from, you know, the Old Testament, where, you know, hey, there was action involved. And even a lot of the healings that, you know, took place from Jesus, you know, he would tell them to do something, you know, to show their faith. I mean, there's just so many examples that, you know, look at the early church in Acts. It's very apparent to me that it was not just a, hey, let's go to this, let's make a building and meet there on Sunday, or, you know, once in a while and pray. It was like, hey, I got to live this out, and there's going to be some crazy things that go on. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, just look at some of the words of Jesus where, you know, if anyone were to come after me, you know, it's about a pursuit. It's about a, you know, just that word follow. If you're going to follow him, well, he's always on the move. So I believe it's going to be an adventure full of ups and downs, but one that's worth living.
Yeah. And I guess if we're following him as well, we're not always sure actually where the destination is or where exactly he's leading us, but we know where the ultimate destination is. But, you know, he's kind of often takes us into new and unexpected places. I think, like you're describing with that experience of going to Bible college and actually he led you there. At the time, you didn't know it, but he did lead you there. And I think that's, you know, it's such a kind of incredible picture, isn't it, of our walk with him. You know, he's got us sorted, but it's about putting our faith in him and trusting that he will lead us well, because
absolutely,
he loves us.
Yeah.
Tell me about some sort of big adventures that you've had, you know, that you've been on with God.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely the Bible college thing, but there was also a time period when I was not married at the time, no kids, and I decided to, you know, answer a call to move across the country to take a youth ministry position in Florida. And for me, that was something I never dreamed I would do. And I don't think if I wasn't a Christian, I don't think, you know, just me personally, my personality, I don't think I would have been able to move away from home. But for me, that was one of the biggest adventures of my life, to go follow that call. Spent 3.5 years in Jacksonville, Florida, and just some incredible memories and things that took place there. And then, you know, shortly after moving back to Indiana, had this opportunity, you know, the NBA sports writing gig that came up. That's been quite an adventure, because being able to, you know, it's not a church job by any means. So to be able to do that, something that I love, but also find opportunities to bring the gospel, you know, to different places. That's been quite an adventure itself. And then, of course, marriage and fatherhood. I got two beautiful daughters that are 3 and 1. That is a daily adventure for sure.
Yeah. Something I've really been kind of reflecting on, and I think the kind of the whole pandemic has really brought it into sharp focus as well. But just, you know, there's obviously in the world that we live in, there's so much hardship and so much suffering. And I wonder whether, have you learned anything in particular about following Jesus through the times in life where it doesn't seem to be going right, where things seem to be falling apart, where there's tragedy, where there's things that just don't make sense. I mean, have you learned anything in those times, in those really, really difficult times of life?
Yeah, you know, I've been very blessed where I haven't lost a whole lot of people that are close to me, but I have been, you know, friends with, you know, I've seen so many examples of people, and I've tried my best to, you know, walk alongside them where they've dealt with some horrible tragedies. And I've seen in those moments, so many people cling to God instead of blaming him or turning away from him. And, you know, I'm reminded of, you know, like, I believe it was a Charles Spurgeon quote where he said that, you know, the point of contact between the patient and the physician is the disease, you know, and if we, you know, really don't, you know, if nothing ever goes wrong and, you know, life is just happy and content, you know, doing our own thing, you know, there's a lot of people that would never, you know, cling to God or cry out to him. And I just, you know, whether it's through death or through the pandemic or job loss, you know, I dealt with some, you know, at one point in my life when I was only 20 years old, was basically a broken engagement. So that was a tough time, tough thing to go through. But I felt like it, I didn't blame God. I, you know, I questioned things, but I cling to him and I realized that, you know, this life that we're living is the temporary one. And if I'm living for an eternal one, that helps. When you have that mindset, it helps to make things make a little more sense. You know, I was talking to a non-believer last year, I think it was, and they said that, you know, how could you believe in God when, you know, these horrible things happen, and, you know, even to Christian people that, you know, die and these horrible tragedies. And I told them that, you know, I would agree with you that none of it is fair or right if there was no life after this one. But I can't possibly play the role of God and think that I know, you know, all these answers about this temporal life when there's one that's waiting that is, you know, an everlasting one. So, you know, I think of Francis Chan as well when he said, if life were stable, I'd never need God's help. You know, those are some of the things that I cling to and, you know, understand that even people of scripture, a lot of times they didn't have answers until later on, but they still walk with God and trusted him in those moments.
Yeah. I mean, scripture's filled with those people, isn't it? Almost everyone in the Bible seems to suffer in some way or another. You know, Paul spends a lot of his time in under house arrest, and, you know, just like the book of Job, I think, you know, it's just so much. And I think that's a real, what a message that is that we can then bring to people, is that God, you know, meets us in our place of vulnerability and of pain and doesn't turn his back on us. And I think that's kind of quite an incredible thing to kind of wrap our heads around, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very comforting to know, and then try to help people that maybe don't have that mindset or don't have, you know, maybe have never read the scriptures to talk to about, you know, this is why I have peace in this moment. This is why I have hope and joy. And even though I still have questions and I still have bad days like everyone else, you know, I have this peace that passes all understanding, as Paul talks about.
I'd love to talk a bit more about the book in particular. It's got this great title, Searching for Seven, and it's really, I guess, the premise behind it is searching for God, seeking God, following God every single day of the week, not just on Sundays. Why was that something that you wanted to write about?
Well, I started to realize as I was compiling notes over the last couple of years that, you know, most of my, I guess you could say, original thoughts from teaching over the last 15 years has come to this kind of same category of, you know, looking for God each day of the week and not being a, you know, Sunday only Christian, or, you know, I'm going to worship X amount of times, you know, throughout the year, but really just this idea that, you know, God, I got to be aware of his presence. I got to be aware that he's working even when I'm, you know, playing open gym basketball, or even when I'm at work, or I remember having these realization type moments when I would go on these mission trips or vacations, and I would just be so in awe of God's beauty at the different places that I was looking at. But I remember coming home and looking at a sunset and thinking, you know, this is holy ground too. Like this small town that I live in, God is here and he wants to work. And it's just, I don't know, the mindset, the awareness of it is such a huge key. And I just feel like the more we talk about it, it's going to help us. We can't take people in our lives for granted. There's so many, you know, Christians in our lives that God has, for the most part, for most people, that, you know, he's put them there, you know, for a reason. And we need to lean into that, have those godly conversations. And I also want people to know that it looks different for each person. What works for me to feel close to God each day of the week may be completely different from somebody else. So you have to figure out what works for you, because it's that important. And he wants a relationship with us. You know, it's, I feel like too many people want God to show up, but they don't do anything to really seek him. And, you know, I want to be one of those people that, you know, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way relationship where I know God pursues me and he wants to seek me out. But at the same time, you know, I got to look for him too.
Yeah. So for you personally, what does that look like 7 days a week, you know, seeking God?
Yeah, for me, I have some things that I try to make sure that I do. And one of them is just, it may sound simple, or to some people it may sound difficult, but I want to make sure that I am initiating some faith-based conversations, you know, every single day with different people. I want to hear their perspective. I want to be able to share, you know, what God's been teaching me. It's a way to, I guess, you know, stay sharp in your faith, but also hear other points of view. And I, you know, one thing I share is that the people that I met, you know, it was the late night dorm room talks at college that really impacted me the most. I mean, I loved the classes and the professors and everything, and I learned a lot. But I can recall more moments in my life when somebody, it was just a conversation, somebody shared, it's like that verse, you know, and I share it, and then all of a sudden I remember that verse the rest of my life. So for me, it's those conversations. I'm big into podcasts. Try to listen to at least 3 or 4 faith-based podcasts each week. Try to make sure I'm in God's word every day, even if it's just a little bit or a lot. And then I, you know, try to read other books as well. And then for me personally, I love Christian concerts. Can't really go to them right now except for virtual, but I've been watching a lot of virtual ones. And for me, that's a way to, you know, see God and fill up my spiritual tank, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so key, isn't it? Having those fellow believers around us in community, having those conversations. I just think that's so, so essential. And God calls us to do this in community, not individualistically. And again, I think this pandemic has just really shown that to me personally. I've found it really hard not being able to kind of meet face to face with people. You know, yeah. So blessed that we have technology that allows, you know, what we're currently doing to be possible. But I think community is so key to God's kingdom and to God's heart for humanity as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think too, you mentioned technology. These are the moments when technology is a good thing. And I do want to say, if anyone's listening that feels like they don't have a lot of Christians around them, you know, utilize technology to meet other Christians and hear other points of view. And, you know, there's different groups and things you can join. You know, utilize that and it'll help you stay sharp and it'll help you look for God each day.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk in the book about how every part of our stories matter, and I'm just wondering whether you know, working in professional sport has taught you anything about following Jesus.
Yeah, I've been around sports my entire life, and I've been doing the NBA sports writing thing for about 7 years now. And I often get asked that question. You know, you talk to the team that you coach, and you talk online about, you know, how sports can teach you about life. And for me, I think the number one thing that it's taught me about my walk with Christ and just life in general is never be too high or too low. You got to, you know, if you're an athlete or a coach, you got to be even keeled. You got to understand that, you know, hey, things are going well now, but things can change in a hurry. You know, you can get bad news in a split second in life. So stay humble. You know, God is teaching me, you know, humility. You know, don't be too prideful about your accomplishments. Things can change in a hurry. on the flip side of that, when things are going bad for maybe a team, things can change in a hurry if you keep working hard and staying hungry. So I talk about staying hungry, staying humble. And I also, I've just seen over the years so many incredible stories of how sport can, you know, bring the best out of people. I mean, obviously it can go the other way and bring the worst out of people. People can fight over sports and all that. But I've seen so many examples of somebody that persevered and felt like, okay, you know, I'm going through all this. Maybe I'm recovering from an injury, or I'm, you know, we're the underdogs, and just feeling like, you know, I'm going to push through. I'm going to work hard. Probably my favorite verse is Colossians 3:23. You know, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men. And I take that as this understanding of, you know, that word, whatever, you know, that encompasses everything, doesn't it? It's not just like, hey, you know, work for God when you're doing this or when you're doing that. It's whatever I am doing. So whether, you know, playing the basketball game or, you know, sports writing, you know, yeah, find ways to work out with all your heart. Maybe your team's down by 30 points. Does it glorify God if you continue to play hard and give it your all? You know, I think it does. I think he wants to see us with our best efforts and doing things we enjoy, but just giving our full effort.
Yeah. Even in the small things, even like just washing the dishes can be worshipful, can't it?
Yes.
I wonder, because I guess I'm coming from a British perspective. I'm not sure what. So in America, do you feel like there's a kind of intersection between sport and religion and faith, or is it are the two things kept quite separate in the way that, you know, journalists will talk about sport or coaches might talk about sport?
I think they're largely kept separate, but I think there's also largely a respect for each. I mean, obviously you look at any topic on, you know, like Twitter and things like that, and you're going to have, you know, people on opposite sides of it. But at least for me, what I've seen, it's kind of similar to the music scene. And I'm not talking about the, you know, Christian music industry, but, you know, maybe secular music where, you know, people still freely talk about God in some of their songs and award shows. And, you know, it's one of those things where I've seen that a lot with professional athletes as well, wearing crosses and, you know, talking about, you know, giving God glory after games and those kind of things. I don't think it's really, they don't shy away from it very much. So some things will happen when they're more controversial, you know, the team Tim Tebow's of the world and kneeling to pray and all that stuff. But I think there's a respect there.
Yeah. Just finally, Tyler, you know, listening to this podcast, we've got people who are Christians and non-Christians as well, maybe from different faiths, maybe exploring things. And I just wonder whether you have a message just to close that you'd want to give to people who don't follow Jesus.
Yeah, I think that one thing that's really important to, I guess, think in your own mind is that if there is a God, if there is, you know, if Jesus was who he said he was, then it is absolutely worth investigating. You know, it's worth searching for. And I feel like we have all kinds of evidence if we really look for it. You know, look into Christian apologetics to see if there really is evidence for God. And then from there, you have to decide, who was this guy? Who was Jesus? Was he just a teacher? Was he just, you know, lying? Was he actually who he said that he was? And I believe whether right now you call yourself a Christian or not, I believe you are incredibly and unbelievably loved by the creator of the universe. And he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He is for you. He is not against you. And the life of following him is not about just following rules and, you know, checking off a box of this or that. It is about, you know, a relationship with the one who created you, gave you breath and everything that you see. And I know that I, as a Christian, I am not perfect. I fall short. That's why I need a savior. And I feel like, you know, that whether I've followed him closely my entire life or not, I think, you know, searching for truth and searching for the creator of this universe is worth, you know, every up and down, every struggle along the way. It's completely worth it. And I hope and pray that each of you, if you're not a believer at this point, would open your mind and heart to possibly hearing from him. and seeking him in your life.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Tyler. Really great to catch up with you.
Thank you.
Conversation with Tyler Smith, the author of Searching for Seven, The Journey of Seeking God 7 Days a Week. Really great to spend time with Tyler, and I love what he's saying. So would encourage everyone to find the book and order it. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones. I'll link to the book website in the description of this podcast. Speaking of which, just looking at the sort of stats for the podcast and where everyone's listening, it's just so exciting to be you know, reaching people all around the world. You know, I've got quite a few people in the US and the UK, but also in places like France and Netherlands, South Africa, Uganda, Canada, you know, just, you know, Jordan, Pakistan. Really wide range of different places. So exciting. And yeah, we just encourage you to keep on sharing this podcast with friends and family and those who might be interested. I was also just looking on Apple Podcasts, and someone's left a lovely review. Kaylin12 has left this review. Says, it's so refreshing and inspiring to hear Sam's conversations on this podcast. Each guest brings vulnerability and richness as they share how God has worked and is working in their lives, and they're a joy to listen to. Thank you so much, Kaylin, for that. Wherever you're listening, really appreciate that, and I would love it, you know, if anyone else wants to leave a review, wherever you're listening to this, I'd really appreciate that. It means a lot. Yeah, well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks, as always, to Johnny Davies for creating the theme music, and to my brother, Thomas Thurigood, for making the wonderful jingles that you've been hearing. I would love for you to you know, subscribe to this so that you get notified about the next edition, which will be in 2 weeks' time. And until then, I just hope you stay safe, and God bless. Have a good one.